Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy, or X at Matthew Soucy, whatever. This show is available on iTunes, and you can hear all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, just you and me this week. We won't dip into the archives. Going to catch up on a couple of videos I watched recently, and then we'll grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching. Hopefully you got to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. We're going to start again this week with Dead People We Like, because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like. And, raise a glass to Paul Reubens, to Pee Wee Herman, who we found out passed away last week. And the fact that he held on to a quiet battle of cancer for 6 years, that's quite a bit. So, salute to him there. Now, it was funny. I was hosting a dinner for the IPBS conference, the Indiana Public Broadcasting Conference. And it was myself and seven others from different stations across the state. And then we got talking about movies. And I was, because of recent conversation over Indiana Jones, I was talking about how, and I'd mentioned it on this show, about how I hit certain sweet spots in cinema. You know, being 5 years old and seeing Jaws in the original theatrical run. Being seven and seeing Star Wars in the original theatrical run. Being 11 and seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark in the original theatrical run. And with the death of Paul Reubens, I was reminded that I got to see on HBO the Pee Wee Herman show in 1981 in its original run when I was 11 years old. And, quite the contrast to seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I am reminded, I guess every generation has their kind of large, loud, man-child comic, whether it's Jerry Lewis or Paul or Pee Wee Herman or Adam Sandler or Jim Carrey or, fill in the blank. So, one that has a strong following, one that is often imitated to various degrees of success. I won't do that here. And one that also entertains one half of the world and irritates the other. So I get that. Questionable fan base of me, and me being one of them. Seeing this when I was 11 years old, I thought was funny as hell. And parts of it I can still recite. Of course, the late, great Phil Hartman was a part of that original run as Captain Carl. He had taken, Pee Wee Herman had taken his show. This is before television, friends. This was done at the Roxy Theater in Los Angeles, I believe, for 5 months. And as I was doing research, he did midnight shows for grown-ups and weekly matinees for children, and they had various degrees of tone, I guess. And then it morphed into Pee-wee's Playhouse, which was on CBS Saturday mornings, and gave us such characters as the King of Cartoons by Film Sociology favorite William Marshall and Cowboy Curtis, a young Lawrence Fishburne. Of course, in 1980, I say around the same time, I remember seeing on HBO that he had small roles in Cheech and Chong's next movie and Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams. Yes, his hamburger dude. Another one that we quoted quite a bit in our younger days. And then talk about a great mixture of first-time starring vehicle and the director to go with him, and that's Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Tim Burton. It's been a while since, think of the last Tim Burton film you really loved, and this was the perfect pairing of star and director, one of the best, at least in my lifetime. Just a fun rollick and romp. And one I need to revisit. It's been a long time. I still don't think I have seen Big Top Pee-wee from start to finish. So that might be something I have to work into. And yeah, just started appearing in other things. Was on MTV, was on David Letterman. And then we get to, yeah, the arrest, the 1991 arrest. And you want to talk about great PR spin. He'd also appeared in Batman Returns because of the Tim Burton connection. Then he got the arrest, laid low. Oh, that's right. He was also in Buffy, which I'm not a fan. But I know there's a lot of people that have a mass following for him in that. And, of course, one of the voices in Nightmare Before Christmas. But so he gets arrested for doing the self-deed in the Sarasota adult movie house, lays low. And it was, I believe it was the MTV Music Video Awards, that, he opened the award show by, there was a spotlight, and he walked out and just asked, heard any good jokes lately? And here's the thing, friends, and then all was forgiven. We were just in the early stages of 24-hour news, and of course we didn't have social media, so that's a sigh of relief. But first off, I can't even think of any of the jokes at that time. I remember a similar version of Richard Pryor at the end of his second concert film, where he does one of the jokes that people did after he'd set himself on fire, was relighting a match and saying, "What's this?" Richard Pryor running down the street. I can't think of a single Pee Wee Herman joke, and it's, well, granted, it's been over 30 years. And once all was forgiven, he went right back into work. Did television, did voiceover. The number of cult pop culture items that he has been a part of, like Buffy, like Mystery Men, like his own program, Blow, which I need to revisit. I thought I had that in my collection. I do not. I might have to actually, stick a crowbar in my wallet and rent it. But, of course, that's the Johnny Depp Penelope Cruz drama directed by Ted Demme. Underrated film. I need to check that out. And that was also a big turning point for him. And then he was able to bring back Pee Wee Herman for tours and for television. So, yeah, quite a career and quite a following. And one who was always kind of in the off-center, in the avant-garde, which is not bad. We need more off-center avant-garde in mainstream media and pop culture. So I go to IMDb, and I'm going through stuff that I forgot. That, of course, he's the waiter in the Blues Brothers. He was in a film called Midnight Madness, which was on HBO for a long time, constantly. Pandemonium was another one. It was kind of send-off on slasher movies. Meatballs Part 2, which is the last film he did before Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I remember being dropped off at the theater from my grandmother. And this was one I didn't know that Meatballs Part 2 had nothing to do with the first Meatballs. And, man, what a disappointment, even though the bus driver was Pee Wee Herman. Flight of the Navigator, Back to the Beach, Big Top Pee Wee I mentioned, Batman Returns I mentioned, Buffy the... So you're in 1992 and 93, Batman Returns, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. 3 years after that would appear in Dunstan Checks In and Matilda. Had the bit on Murphy Brown for 6 episodes. I believe got an Emmy nod for that. Was a voice in Dr. Doolittle, the TV series Hercules. Played the spleen in Mystery Men. Blow, I had already mentioned. Rugrats, Teacher's Pet. Just constantly, as you can hear, I'm scrolling. Just constant work, especially voiceover work going into the 2000s. So, that's kind of a throwback to my younger days, my younger, sillier days of Pee-wee's Playhouse and the Pee-wee Herman Show on HBO. So, salute to Paul Rubens. Thanks for entertaining us and keeping this young spazzy kid company via television. All right, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Gotta mention my guys over at Golan Globus are doing the first Dirty Harry film. It's fun takedown on the Clint Eastwood film directed by Don Siegel. This was one that I, of course, grew up with quite a bit. I think I liked it more than both of them, and that's all right. Their takedown of it is a lot of fun. And, yeah, so go listen to them. And they're doing, I believe, Master Ninja the following week. Not the movie, the TV series with really old Lee Van Cleef. So, anyway, check out Golan Globus. Okay, let's go around the horn, and then we'll grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching this week. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, on screen one is Barbie and No Hard Feelings. Screen two is Under Construction. Screen three is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. And then the second feature is the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And on screen four, Meg 2, The Trench, and Talk to Me. I know Meg 2 opened this week, but I didn't see the first Meg, and I'm afraid I'll miss the, you know, subtle nuances by not seeing the first one. Sorry. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, followed by Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. And, of course, the Super Monster Movie Fest, Frozen Frights, is happening at the Skyline on August 25th. Mark your calendars over there. Over at IU Cinema, just a reminder, Thursday, August 17th is the IU Cinema Open House at 3:30 p.m. And a volunteer call-out meeting on August 28th. And then Friday, September 22nd, wow, a 10 p.m. movie, Friday Night Frights, 1972's Brian De Palma's Sisters with Margot Kidder. Then Thursday, September 28th is a part of Friday Night Frights at 7 p.m., the original 1973 The Wicker Man, new 4K restoration. Nice stuff there. And finally, at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Friday, August 4th, 7:30 p.m., It's So Very, Heathers. Saturday, August 5th, 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., Cartoons for Cans. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., August 5th, the first Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, why not? Thursday, August 10th, in the Indianapolis Jazz Orchestra, a tribute to the Rat Pack. And then Friday and Saturday, August 11th and 12th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., is Dirty Dancing, and the 10 p.m. Saturday performance, Crazy for Swayze Participation Encouraged Show. I'm guessing we're just talking about the dancing and nothing else in that film. Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Double Indemnity. Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., August 25th and 26th, 3 Days of the Condor. And then Tuesday, September 26th at 8 p.m., oh my gosh, the band Goblin will be doing a live scoring of Dario Argento's 1985 classic, Demons. Screening a score set to a screening of the movie. Yeah, wow. Then there'll be a brief intermission and another concert performance by Goblin. So there you go. Tuesday, September 26th, 8 p.m. at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, I'm going to tell you about some films I got to watch recently at home. A couple titles that, honestly, I lost my notes and I found them, so I'm okay there. All is well. Starting things off with the drama Chile 76 from Kino Lorber. And this is a story of an upper-class woman, and her name is Carmen, and what happens as the family goes to the summer home in the off-season for renovations, and we start to see that the country is changing, the country, of course, of Chile in 1976. Pinochet's spot starts turning up on TV. Friends are starting to disappear, and now is she being followed? This film could be a double feature with a drama from last year called Jane. That was the one with Elizabeth Banks and Sigourney Weaver. Banks plays a housewife who gets more and more engulfed into the women's abortion movement in the late 60s, early 70s. And in this one, we have another wife who is stepping out of their comfort zone and maybe possibly getting in over their head when it comes to assisting friends. This is one of those, it being a foreign film, I write down, if it was a Hollywood film, they would toss her into a really dangerous mission with dread and power and see how close she can get to being rescued. There's hints of that, but it doesn't go that way. We don't get thrown into a fish out of water action adventure. But just the fact that the threat of that is surrounding her, it works out well. So Chile 76 from Kino Lorber, also from Kino Lorber, and this kind of goes with, I had done a documentary review a few weeks ago on film restoration. And this one is called Only in Theaters, released last year and filmed over a span of 2.5 years of a family in Los Angeles who owned a series of art house cinemas in California, a multi-generational family of film owners. Their eldest was a theater owner in Lowell, Indiana, as we find out. And it's one of those where while the documentary was being made about the family, we get that in 2019 that the chain was going to was struggling, was going to possibly go up for sale. So there's a whole aspect of will the family sell or won't they because of streaming, because not as many people coming out. And then, of course, we get hit with COVID that throws it into the mix. But this was this art house chain was important because it's one that would show the room in its early when it first came out. And gave a lot of filmmakers not just their film exposure, but also got to see films that influenced these filmmakers. And it talks about the history of the art house film. But in the late 50s and early 60s, there were art house theaters that would not prove to be financially successful, and they often turned into porn houses. This family did not do that. The Lamel family, if I'm saying that right. We get talking heads like Leonard Maltin, Cameron Crowe, James Ivory, Allison Anders, among others, to talk about the legacy of the theater and their impact. They do the one remaining theater does do a sing-along Fiddler on the Roof on Christmas Eve, because why wouldn't you? But it's a fun and fascinating look not only at a family business, what is going to happen to the family, what's going to happen to the business, and then as the fact that life gets in the way of telling a good story, and in this case twice. So Only in Theaters, well done. It's out on Kino Lorber. Also from Kino Lorber, a documentary that I've always heard about but never got a chance to see. I remember Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert on Sneak Previews. It was called Sneak Previews when they were on PBS, not at the movies. So this is late 70s, early 80s. The 1982 documentary, The Atomic Cafe, which is a really fascinating collection of U.S. propaganda films, going all the way back to seeing footage of President Truman saying, use these bombs in God's way as he would use them. But we also get footage of bomb testing, and this is kind of a complimentary piece. They're re-releasing this because of the release of Oppenheimer. But we do get the footage in the New Mexico desert. We also get the aftermath with some of the living Japanese victims. We do get footage of Oppenheimer, the testing on Bikini Island, footage that you've seen before, explosion footage you've seen before used in other contexts as second unit footage or as punchlines in some cases. Loads and loads of newsreels of publicity film for the power of the shopping center. And as I was writing in my notes, really dated footage, or is it? We also get, yes, the duck and cover instructional films. Remember when plastic and duct tape were going to help out as well? The myriad of atomic bomb and Cold War country songs that were released. There's some military training films featuring James Gregory for you fans of Barney Miller and the Manchurian Candidate. Young Richard Nixon going after the communists. The Julius and Ethel Rosenberg trial. A song about Eisenhower. Footage of the fact that on August 19th, 1953, the Russians tested their own bomb. And also a slew of fallout shelters, because that became the thing in the 50s. So just a fascinating look at U.S. propaganda footage that in some cases has not aged at all. So look for The Atomic Cafe on Kino Lorber. And then I was able to cleanse my palate with a couple of light things. Also from Kino Lorber, the Italian sci-fi film Star Pilot. This is Mystery Science Theater material if there ever was one. Aliens land in Sardinia. They kidnap a crew of a scientist and his crew and his beautiful model daughter, as well as two Chinese spies attempting to abduct the scientist and his family. The boulders are not too foamy looking. The fights are silly. Of course, we have robots in a cave because it's easier to shoot in there. Apparently, aliens wore scuba gear in the mid '60s. Anyway, just a fun, ridiculous Italian sci-fi. And on Blu-ray, and you can watch it in 3D. Robot Monster, filmed on location. 4 days, $16,000. Your monster wears a space helmet and a gorilla suit. And he is Roman, and his job is to destroy Dehuman. But as the film goes on, it's only 69 minutes, he does get doubts about his mission. And you're not supposed to challenge your leader. Lots of close-ups of reptiles fighting. We have 8 people left on Earth. And they're not trained actors, and it shows. Roman has a bubble machine, which is nice. A very busy score and a way overqualified score by Elmer Bernstein. Yes, that one. But we also get things that are a little harsh for a 1950s film of seeing Roman strangle a little girl and what happens with the romance and a wedding that really doesn't have to be there. A bad fight and a bad chase involving the young married couple. The ones who get married in the middle of the end of the world. Oh man, it's just wonderfully ridiculous. And then of course this was all the cause of a bump on a boy's head, or was it? Reminds me of the tagged on dream ending at the end of Our Town. This is a film you've seen if you recognize hopefully the robot monster himself. But it's always been in the pantheon of bad cinema and in books like the Golden Turkey Awards and those types. So anyway, and now it's on Blu-ray and you can watch it in 3D because why wouldn't you? And it's fine. It, you know, the bigger the TV you have for 3D, the better. But yeah, I'm really happy that Roman are chasing the humans on Blu-ray. That's Robot Monster. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start with Dustin, who watched the 2021 TV miniseries Made as well as Barbie. Nikki writes, there will be blood. Kurt writes, Barbie and Mission Impossible at the cinema, the latest Downton Abbey film, and Babylon at home. Wow. At home, sorry. There are some overlaps there as they both deal with Hollywood transition from silent to sound. You're right. All the President's Men at Belle Trace. Okay, Kurt, I thought you showed Babylon at Belle Trace. I'd have been really impressed. Patty writes, time after time, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, as well as Room Service from 1938. Devin writes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Jamie writes, Waitress, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, Toy Story, The Holiday, 51st Dates, and Barbie. David writes, Throne of Blood, Nosferatu, and Wings. Garland writes, The Latest Haunted Mansion, as well as Princess Mononoke. Lou Harry writes, I'd the Trad, Dad, The Mission, and 5 Minutes to Live. Mary writes, Interstellar. Okay. Linda writes, Nothing held my interest. But what were they? Got to let us know this. Don't just leave us hanging there. Don't vague book. Cassie writes Night in Soho Dance. Craig writes The Rise and Rise of Michael Rimmer as well as Interstellar. Eric writes his first views were They Won't Forget from 1937, a surprisingly relevant melodrama about mob law, as well as Stephen Frears' The Hit, Boys Night Out, and Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man. His rewatches, a gorgeous new Criterion of Islands of Lost Souls, and Hal Ashby's Coming Home. Very good. Taylor writes Affair in Trinidad, Gilda, Amsterdam, Dr. No, and Andrew Blake's Pinups. I'm sorry. Eric mentioned Coming Home. I was talking on last week's show, I believe, or 2 weeks ago, of the Alain Delon, Jane Fonda film, Joy House. And I talked about a very impressive stunt sequence. And I was watching it again for the commentary track. I was misled. I was wrong, or I should say, I misled you. There is a great stunt with Delon on the street as a car comes skidding sideways to a halt. That actually happens. And then you see Delon run and jump over into some railroad tracks. But you do, and on second review, you do see a cut of, you see Delon jump, and then he falls out of frame. And then we get a cut, and you see the train speed by. I thought he was Burt Lancaster in The Train, doing it all in one take. I was wrong. I am sorry. It's still visually impressive. Anyway, back to this. David writes Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and Tommy Boy. Britt writes Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Doug's got a big list. From the past 2 weeks, that happens. The Sting. Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed, Gene Dielman, A Day at the Races, The Balloon Attack, The Love Nest, Saving Mr. Banks, Magnificent Obsession, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Double Indemnity, and the Carol Burnett parody, Double Calamity. The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, The Gospel According to St. Matthew, Belle of the 90s, American Graffiti, That's Entertainment Part 3, Oliver Twist, Contempt, Safety Last, Anchors Away, Mata Hari, Key Largo, he's in academia, Amores Perros, Our Hospitality, Paper Moon, Lover Come Back, Bohemian Girl, Tit for Tat, Hollywood the Dream Factory, The Blue Gardenia, Memento, The Original Getaway, Love Me or Leave Me, White Heat, and Season 2 of The Bear. Thank you, Doug. That's quite a bit. Get some rest, friend. Daniel writes Arabesque, A Room with a View, Jezebel, Haunted Mansion, Spellbound, Girl on the Train, The Fugitive, The Rose Tattoo, and Destry Rides Again. Melissa writes Mission Impossibles 1 through 6 and Friends with Benefits. Brian writes, only first time viewing was The Green Slime. Wow, congratulations. Roxana writes The Little Mermaid, the most recent one. John writes, yes, John, I understand. I keep seeing this on Friday, but not this week, Zuck. Bear with me, I've been keeping a list. That's okay, John, that's why we do this. And so many people have kept a notepad or, you know, legal pad near their TV. It's cool. In the theater, Toy Story, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Super Mario Brothers. At home, The Death Collector, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Hoodlum, King of New York, Air, Paranoia, Crisis, Mafia Inc., Killin' Smalls, The Founder, Gangsterland, Targets, Tenth and Wolf, Mary, Hunter Killer, Hitman's Bodyguard, The Butcher, Arkansas, Uncommon Valor, A Murder, or Act of Silence, The Drop, hey Tracy, Smokin' Aces, Dillinger and Capone, Black Mass, Romeo is Bleeding, The Traitor, Mob King, Paul Apostle of Christ, Solomon, Jeremiah, Esther, with a fantastic performance by film sociology regular guest F. Murray Abraham. I wish Murray was a regular guest, but I just play his interview at least once a year. Cool guy. Genesis, Stand-Up Guy, and The House That Dripped Blood. So there you go, John. You can start a new page. That's all right. Speaking of Tracy, Tracy writes Wanted. Nick Rogers writes City by the Sea. Open Range, The Desert Fox, A Story of Rommel, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and The Meg. Kevin writes Good Omens, Season 2. Terry writes from the past couple of weeks, Dream Lover, Hidden Figures, After the Sunset, Asteroid City, Oppenheimer, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Gary writes Wicked Stepmother, Alien, Aladdin, from 1992, of course, Peter Pan, Beauty and the Beast, the live-action one, Talk to Me, Watchmen, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Casablanca, Toy Story 3, and a.k.a. Tommy Chong. Moveen writes, Mark felt as in we could use another Deep Throat last week, last month, last year. And The Torch, a documentary about Buddy Guy, who will be at the State Fair on August 18th. Wear your black and white polka dot apparel. Thank you, Movi. A nice shameless plug there for the State Fair. And finally, Gene writes, Novitate and Stardust. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there, and we'll try this again next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!